You're a terror, Dave. Leave me alone. My name's John. I'm an alcoholic. Welcome back. It now gives me great pleasure to introduce you to our next speaker, Barbara Kay.
Thank you very much. My name's Barbara and I'm an alcoholic. It's a privilege and an honour to be asked to share here today, although I didn't think that just 2 minutes ago sitting there. I thought, John, carry on. it's a lovely room, you know, and to see it so full of people, recovering alcoholics, it is absolutely amazing. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, so that you know the route I took to get to Alcoholics Anonymous. Like I said, my name's Barbara, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a little bit over pensionable age. I'm divorced with 4 children and 4 grandchildren, and my sobriety date was the end of November 1986. And I don't say that for any other reason than it's the truth. You know, and that doesn't qualify me to be any more sober than anybody else in this room. In fact, I feel less so. My knees are absolutely shaking, and I'm not holding on to this for any other reason than for support. anyway, to get on with it. When I discovered alcohol, it was like the lights had gone on in the world for me. It was the answer, or seemed to be then, to all of my problems. It changed the way I felt immediately. So I know today, and hindsight is a wonderful gift, and a lot of what I say is with hindsight. I know today that I used and abused alcohol from the first drink that I took. Because before I drank, I felt I was not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I've read in the big book that it's described as irritable, restless and discontented. And my mother said I was the most discontented child she'd ever met. And, you know, and I know how that feels. I was not a happy person. I couldn't mix with people. I couldn't talk to people. I didn't get on with people at school. Worse still, I didn't get on with people in my family. And I said in these rooms for a long time after I came here that I came from an unhappy childhood. I didn't. I was the unhappy person in that family. My brothers and my sister and my mother were perfectly happy. I was the unhappy person. But like I said, when I discovered alcohol, it was just like the lights had gone on, and I thought, this is the answer, this is what has been missing, and proceeded to drink. And I drank for 26 and a half years, and I was what I'd call an opportunist drunk in the beginning. We didn't have a lot of money. I was married at the time, and I would drink whenever we went to parties. I know today, and I can say in all honesty, that I never went out and took a drink, and I never took a drink without getting drunk. Every time I drank, I got drunk. Every time I drank, I got into trouble. And my drinking went on like that for quite a long time. And I'm not going to bore you with all the bits in between, because a lot of it was done in blackout, so I would be making it up if I did. I can't remember. What I do remember is I was a binge drinker for a while, and at the end of my drinking, I was a daily drinker. All the time my eyes were open, my mouth was open too, with drink going down my throat. And in the middle of all of this was a family trying to grow up and live a life. I had no concept of that what I was doing was wrong. I hadn't even heard of the word alcoholism. I didn't know there was anything wrong. I needed to drink because it took away all of those feelings that I spoke about before. It enabled me, I thought, to deal with life. I didn't do life very well without drink, and therefore, it enabled me to do all of that. And, I didn't know anything about emotional harm that I did to my family, any of that stuff. I'd learned all of that since I came into this fellowship. And at the end of my drinking, the best way I can describe the end of my drinking to you is to compare it to today. And today, when I woke up, I didn't come to. Today, I knew that the ceiling that I was looking at was instantly mine. The person that I was in bed with was the same person that I went to bed with last night. Better than that, my bed was dry. You know, I didn't have to rush to the bathroom to retch down the toilet. I didn't have to reach for the small amount of alcohol that I may well have left from the night before to get me going that morning, this morning. I was able to get out of bed, and what I did, I got on my knees and I asked for help. And I asked for help because over the last couple of days I haven't been physically well. And I don't do physical pain very well. I don't do emotional. I don't do any pain very well. And this morning I really had to get off my pity pot to get here because I felt so sorry for myself, you know. And, but I did the usual things that I do every morning now. I got on my knees, I asked for help. And you know what? I feel so much better. You know, even my knees are stopping shaking. There's only a little bit now. And I got in the shower and I got some clean clothes out. And I got in my car and drove to a friend's house who then drove me here. And they are very simple things that people out there do every day of their lives. But they are the things that I could not do at the end of my drinking. I was falling down drunk, and somebody in my family suggested that I try AA, and I thought, what the hell for? I'm not that bad. By then I knew somebody that had gone to AA, and I knew that alcoholics went there, and he was a man as well, so it certainly didn't apply to me. Anyway, and I decided that I would go to a couple of meetings because it seemed like a good idea. The family might talk to me again. You see, throughout my drinking, there were lots of rows in my family, lots of silences too, and I really don't know which I hated the most, and neither of them were very pleasant. So the answer to that was to get drunk again. I decided, because they thought it was a good idea, that I would go to AA as well, and I went to a couple of meetings, and I listened to a couple of people doing chairs, and you know, they'd been in prison and they'd been in treatment centres and they'd been lost their licences, and I'd never done any of those things, so I really thought that, you know, it was quite hard for me to understand that I qualified to be in this fellowship. Because I've never done those sorts of things, and I missed the bit where they said to me, listen for the similarities. I missed that bit completely. You know, when somebody said they wet the bed, I missed that bit. It was the lost their... I've never lost my licence. I've never been in prison, you know, at least of all a mental hospital. And that was what I did. And, I looked at the scrolls behind me on the wall that said the 12 steps, and you know, I thought, God, that must be all right for you lot, but you know, I'm special and I'm different and I don't need any of that, because I hadn't done all of these things that I heard people talking about. And I went along for a few months just putting my backside on a chair at a meeting, having a cup of coffee, plonking my dirty cup down and walking back out again and getting a lift home. I know today that I was suffering with untreated alcoholism, because thank God I was lucky enough one evening to be in a room at a meeting when a lady, after I'd shared, and God knows what I shared, it must have been a load of rubbish because she took me outside straight away and read me my fortune, really. After she'd done that, she offered to be my sponsor. And, you know, I'd heard all this about sponsorship, get yourself a sponsor, do the programme, you know, but I didn't want to do any. I didn't want any of the hard work that I knew it would be. And, you know, she said that she would be my sponsor and she would help me through the steps of this programme. And, do you know, my mouth went yes and my head was going, don't do that, don't do that, you know. But it was too late because it had... And that's why I say thank God today, because, you know, I do thank God for that that lady being in that room that night. And, the first thing she said to me was, would I be willing to get on my knees and ask a power greater than myself to help me stay sober? And I said, like what? And she said, I don't care, just do it. I don't care what it is, just do it anyway. And she gave me some other things. You know, she asked me to read the Just for Today card, to make a gratitude list, and I hadn't got... I phoned her up one day, and I said, I haven't a clue what to put on here. And she said, well, you're breathing, so start with that. And I did. I did. I didn't know what to put. And, you know, she... She said she'd take me through the steps, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as they're laid out in the big book, because that was the only way she knew how to do it. And, you know, I was quite in awe of this woman, you know, and I used to think up ways to get her off my back when I hadn't sort of, if I was late phoning or if I hadn't sort of done what I was supposed to have done. And I'd phone her up, and I've already spoken about self-pity, and I do suffer with that sometimes. And I used to phone her up and say, oh, I feel really dreadful today. I think I'll have a drink. And do you know what the bitch said to me? Go on then. You know, and I thought, how could you be so heartless? But she was absolutely right, you know. And that was the way I learned, you know, to get off the pity pot. And... you know, and so she started to take me through the 12 steps, and you know, she taught me so much. And you know, I know you all know about the 12 steps, but there's just one or two little experiences that I had that I remembered, actually, when you were having your question and answer session. I was sat at the back listening and shaking, but listening mostly. And you know, she taught me that the first three steps would take care of my... The first step would take care of my physical illness, because I'm powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable. Step two would take care of my mental illness that I'd absolutely denied I had. And step three would take care of my spiritual malady, you know. I just want to step back to the second half of the first step, because this might give you some idea of what I was like. And probably still can be like, if I don't work at it. The second half of that step says my life is unmanageable. And it took me a while to get hold of that. I could, with her, see the powerlessness I had over alcohol, but the unmanageability I couldn't. You know, because when I came into this fellowship, I had a house, nice house. I had a husband. I had four children. I had two cars on the drive and a caravan, and we had a boat on the river. And what I failed to tell you was that we didn't live as husband and wife. My children didn't talk to me. My house was an absolute pigsty. The two cars, one was rusting and one we couldn't afford to tax because I drank so much. The caravan, the wheels had fallen off and the boat had sunk. But my life was not unmanageable. Thank you. You know, so that was a great lesson, you know, and I learned that with my sponsor. You know, she helped me sort that out. She had to help me sort out a lot of what was fact and fantasy in my life, because I didn't know. Because I didn't do life, I fantasised a lot, and I was drunk in blackout half the time, so I really hadn't got a clue. And she told me one day, she said, Barbara, everybody builds fairy castles in the sky. You need to move out, you know. And that was when I sort of came to grips with honesty and self-honesty, really. And yeah, so that was that. And after I'd done step three with her, I went on. She showed me how to do step four. And that was a great revelation to me because, you know, I had always, always blamed everybody else. And my finger was always pointing out. It was always you, 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 or that, that, that. And, you know, the reason I drank. And what step four did for me, and ultimately step five, it made me point the finger in, you know, and look at myself, you know, and some of what I saw I didn't like. And that was okay. That was okay because she told me I could change. And it was a program of action, you know. And it tells us in the big book, doesn't it, you know, we launched into a vigorous program of action. And, you know, that was good. You know, step six and seven, defects of character. My God, I didn't know I had any. You know, I really didn't. I really was in that castle in the sky. And, you know, and she told me what they were. In fact, she wrote them down for me. So I wouldn't forget. And, you know, she showed me what I could do, you know, to get rid of them. You know, and I had to find some humility. You know, I hadn't got a clue what it was, and I was so frightened to ask because I heard somebody at a meeting say, if you talk about humility, you haven't got it. And I thought, God, I can't open my mouth about that one because I think I'm not humble. You know, but I knew all about humiliation, you know, and I had to learn about humility. And I heard it described once, and this sits with me very well, is that we don't think less of ourselves, we think of ourselves less. You know, and that's a definition of humility that I quite like. So, yeah, so, you know, we went through this program. She showed me how to make amends, and I had a few of those, you know, and a few that I didn't really want to do, you know. But after I'd seen my defects of character, and after I'd done step eight and seen, you know, or looked at how the other person would have felt had they been treated that way, you know, I just wanted to get it over with, you know, and I did get on with that quite quickly, you know, and I started with easy people, my mother, and, you know, and while I was doing step four, she showed me how to do step 10, and, you know, and I still do that today. You know, I've still got a sponsor today. It's not the same one that took me through the program. Sadly, she died. And but, you know, I still have a sponsor today. Again, you were talking about sponsorship after somebody's recovered from alcohol. Yeah, I absolutely need to talk to my sponsor. I want to talk to my sponsor today. You know, I have the responsibility of sponsoring other people. And sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know. There's a statement, isn't it? I don't know everything, you know. So I have to ask advice. I have to make sure that what I'm doing is right. If she doesn't know, then I have to go back to the big book. You know, if it's not in there, I don't do it, you know. And, you know, today my life is absolutely transformed, absolutely, from an everyday falling down drunk. You know, I've got a partner today, and I have a 50-50 relationship with him. I never could do that before. When I was married, it was always 20-80, 70-30, me being the lesser. And, you know, I've got a job that I enjoy today. I was unemployable when I came here. I lost my job through being drunk at work. Oh, yeah, that was another bit of unmanageability. You know, I couldn't manage to drink at work and stay sober. And, You know, I just told everybody that I'd retired, you know, because I was such a liar as well. You know, today, because I put in the action of this program, or I try to, I don't do it perfectly every day, and I really wouldn't want to, you know, because nobody can be perfect. And but I put in the effort and I put in the action, you know, and you know, life happens. But I've got the support of this fellowship. I've got the support of people in it. I've got the program that I work, you know, when I get on my knees and ask for help. And I say thank you when I get on my knees again this evening. And, you know, it's it is a program of action. And for me, that is service as well in this fellowship. I have to do service. And one of the greatest bits of service I can do comes back to the theme of this convention, which is our primary purpose, which is Tradition 5, you know. I do work on the helpline. I'm a responder on the helpline. And that's why I can't come here tomorrow, because I'm on the helpline tomorrow, which I think is... I enjoy doing it. I love doing it. I couldn't start doing that until a couple of years ago, because I had an illness that kept me off work for 9 months. And I, you know, had a word with my sponsor, who suggested that I might try and do a bit of service, because it's only by thinking of others that I forget about myself, you know. And she was absolutely right again. You know, and I do some 12-step work. You know, to me, that is a wonderful piece of service. You know, it. I started doing 12-step work when I was about a year sober. And I used to take hostages. And, you know, if I got somebody to 12-step, nobody at a meeting was going to talk to her. She was mine, and I was going to get her sober. And until I had a great lesson. In my first year of sobriety, I didn't drive. We hadn't saved up enough money to get the cars back on the road by then. So I used to get buses to meetings, and I'd arranged to meet this woman at the bus stop. I came through the town, and it was of an evening, and we were going to go on to the next town, and I said to her, I'll be sitting at the back of the bus, you know, make sure you get on, all the rest of it, gave her instructions. And this day she got on the bus, and she stood where the driver is, and she said, I'm not an alcoholic, Barbara, I'm not coming tonight. So I didn't do that anymore. It taught me a great lesson. It taught me a great lesson, as I've learned a lot of lessons. And, you know, I heard somebody in the question and answer session talking about not being a doctor, not being a lawyer, you know, and that was another great thing my sponsor taught me, you know, because when I first got sober, I thought, you know, everything was going to be wonderful, and I was going to be rich, and I was going to have this handsome man, and I was going to have this lovely car with this lovely house, and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, she taught me that AA is not a financial advisor, a doctor, a lawyer, a marriage guidance counsellor. You know, some individuals might think they are, but that's not what the rooms of AA are for. And, you know, she taught me that, which was great. And, you know, I'm really struggling now to think of what else to say. But, you know, in my two home groups, the chair is for 20 minutes, and I don't often get to do the chair there. So most of the other groups I go to, it's 20 minutes. And, you know, if you share for 5 minutes, and you shut up like that. You know, so I think I've done really well to do 25. And I'm going to leave it there. And thank you very much, and God bless you all.